Just green. Can somebody tell me? Just like, I'm colorblind, and they were telling me before the service that when the light turned green, I knew the mic was on, but I want to get rid of this before I break it. All right, I think we're about square now. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good deal. Glad to be up here again. I was thrilled when Pastor Ron asked me to do this again, especially after I'd already done it one time. I just was hoping I'd get the opportunity to do it again one day. As we've talked about earlier, it is Father's Day. And I would like to just acknowledge all the fathers in the place. I'd like to talk to the children, I guess, for a few minutes, those of you that don't necessarily have kids yet, about your dads. And you need to understand that your dad's not always the best dad, but he's always the best dad that he can be, and he loves you. And you don't always necessarily agree and get along. And you know, I'm almost 37 years old, and there's still times me and my dad disagree about things. But at the end of the day, he wants what's best for me. And just keep that in mind about your dads, and know that he loves you, even when you're not seeing eye to eye on things. So that's just my Father's Day spill for the day, as far as the kids go. Now, we're going to talk to dads today, and I'm sure some of you ladies will get something out of this too. Me and Miss Lisa were discussing it earlier, and she seemed to think that they were. It's a pretty well-rounded message. We're going to talk about this phrase, this sentence that we've heard so many times, and it's, to be 100% honest about it, it's a lie. That phrase is something we hear when, you know, we're going through hard times and there's troubles and trials in life. We've heard this before. God won't put more on you than you can handle. How many of you guys have heard that before? We've all heard that before, right? You don't have to raise. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. You don't have to raise your hands, and don't look around, because this is going to. How many of you have heard that from somebody in this room? From other Christians? How many of you in this room have said that to somebody else? I know. I've done it before. I've been guilty of it, and it's something we do, and we think we're offering comfort. God won't put more on you than you can handle. You can deal with this. You can. Yeah. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes it's just too much. And we're going to look at some examples today in the Bible of people that felt like, you know, it was more than they could bear. Or, you know, we get in these situations where we're looking at this long road in front of us and all these problems and these trials and tribulations, things that we go through and things that we deal with, and people will tell us that, you know, God won't put more on you. Well, it feels like it. It feels like God has put more on me than I can handle. But you're telling me that God won't do that to me, so I must be able to handle this, right? This has got to be something, I got to be able to find a way to figure this out and work this out for myself. But we can't. There's times that we just can't. There's nothing we can do. You know, we don't have the wisdom. There's no way to get out of some of these things without giving it over to God. You know, and so we feel like a failure because we can't think of a solution to our problems. We can't get through these hard times based on just what we know all by ourselves. So we do. We feel like we've failed. We want to know what's wrong with me. What am I doing wrong that I'm stuck in this? What did I do something that God's punishing me for now? Or, you know, it's just a lie. It's a lie when somebody says God won't put more than you can handle. It's not in the Bible. It's not scriptural. There are people that will tell you it is, and we'll look in just a second at a verse in, you can go ahead and be turning there. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is the... This is where a lot of people get this from. They come up with this idea that God won't overload you with stuff more than you can bear. But the verse itself says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it." See, there it is. It says you may be able to bear it, right? So that means, no, that's, we're not talking about the same thing. Paul's talking about temptation here. And the most important thing we need to understand about temptation is that temptation is not a sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. Temptation is, you know, it's just what we're subject to in our flesh. Jesus Christ was tempted. You know, he faced temptation. The devil took him out and said, you know, these are all the things, and presented him all these circumstances, and Jesus was able to quote scripture and get out of these things. So that's, and that's a good example of why it's important for us to know Scripture. But again, what Paul's talking about here is temptation. He's not talking about suffering. He's talking about, you know, temptation. And God will give us ways to get out of those things. It says it. It's clear in the Bible that God gives us a fire escape as far as temptation goes. But what we're talking about today is suffering. Bad things that happen to us. You know, we always ask, why does God let bad things happen to good people? I don't know. And we can say that it's part of God's plan and, you know, get into any number of cliches that, you know, that we think we're helping somebody out by using. But it is important to understand the meaning of this verse that we just looked at and the difference between temptation and suffering and why God doesn't always just open the door and let us flee from suffering. And, I mean, if you... You know, we just recently in the news, we can think of situations, you know, our brothers and sisters in Charleston that are dealing with what they're going through right now. You know, somebody could have said, you know, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. That would be more than I could handle. I can't process that. I can't understand why, you know, somebody would do the things that happened up there and why they would do it in the place where it happened. I can't wrap my brain around that. That's more than I can handle. I can't understand that. But looking to God for the answer is that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to try to figure it out. It's okay if we don't know. A couple of other biblical examples. Psalm 22, verse 1. You guys can turn there if you want. But it's Psalm 22 is the one right before Psalm 23. We go to the Psalms, obviously. I'm a math teacher now, right? We go to the Psalms a lot of time for comfort, for peace, for, you know, sunshine and rainbows. And probably the most popular psalm is the 23rd, you know, where he leads me by the still waters and he restores my soul and all these. Every life is wonderful. It's all great. Well, if you just go back one chapter before, Psalm chapter 22 starts with, God, why have you forsaken me? You know, and it goes on and on and on about why God, life is so hard and God must have turned his back on me. You know, and it's just something we look at as far as whether or not God will put more on us than we can handle. Psalm 88 is miserable. I don't know if you guys ever read Psalm 88 before, but it's several verses of just how far away, you know, why is God so far away? Why did he leave me here? Why did God turn his back on me? I'm dealing with the hardest parts of my life. Awful things are happening, and God's nowhere to be found. You know, the chapter ends with the psalmist saying, darkness is my nearest friend. Like, oh, woe is me, right? He's obviously dealing with some serious major stuff. But between, you know, we see Psalm 22 there where he's miserable, and then we see 23 where he's not, and then we see 88 again where he is, and he's kind of gone back and forth on this. But at some point between 22 and 23, you know, he had one of those light bulb moments, and he realized that God is who he says he is, and he's who we profess that he is. And he's excited, he's happy, all the good things that he talks about in Psalm 23. But that light bulb had to come on, and there had to be that time when he gave it to God. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there are so many times when I give things to God. I say, all right, God, you go ahead and fix it, except for give it back, because I think I can handle it without you. You know, we put things down. We'll come to the altar. I'm leaving it with you, God, and we'll pick it right back up. You know, and that's, I don't know about, you know, who does it at your house, but at my house, I'm the worrier. You know, I take care of all the worrying. Jessica pays the bills, and, you know, we share the kid duties, and I do all the worrying. I'm good at it. You know, it's a gift. But I mean, and hopefully some of you guys can relate to that. I'm sure there are some of you that just don't ever worry about anything at all. But we get these things, these situations that we deal with, and we'll finally say, okay, God, you can have it. And then again, we'll take it back. We'll say, no, I can figure it out. I'm tough. God won't give me more than I can handle, right? No, that's not true. I wish I didn't have any slides today, but I wish I had a big picture and pyrotechnics and all kinds of stuff explaining just what a lie that is and how much trouble that can get us in, what a slippery slope that can lead down. Once we start thinking, well, I can fix this. I can fix it. I can handle it. Because, I mean, if we honestly believe that, if we really believe that we can fix any situation that we're in, if we can handle any trial that we're going through, what do we need God for? You know, why even bother? I'll read your book if I need it or whatever, but I got this. I can handle it. I'm guilty of that. I told somebody this morning before we started, I'm preaching to myself today because this is something I do. I'm guilty of not trusting God. I mean, if we're just honest, that's what we're doing here. Worrying is just not trusting God. And, well, I mean, it can be, depending on circumstance and exactly how far you take it. We do see biblical examples of people that are worried, and, you know, but they end up turning it over to God, and everything works out for them, you know, according to God's plan. But another example that I do want to turn to is Matthew 26. We're going to jump around a little bit today, but Matthew 26, verse 38. We're just about to the point where Jesus is going to be arrested, and he's going to be unfairly tried, and he's going to be executed, and he's going to die probably the worst death any human being's ever died. And we see Jesus right here having a human moment. Jesus, you know, he was God, and he came to earth and took on the flesh and everything that came with that. All the hurt and the sorrows and the pain and the temptation, you know, things that we deal with. The only difference in him and us is that he never sinned, obviously. But in Matthew 26, verse 38, Jesus says to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Jesus he's scared right here. He knows. The rest of these guys don't necessarily know what's about to happen. He did. He understood. He had to know his whole life what was going to happen at the end of his life. So he's looking at it now in the eye. He's there. He is to that time, and all this stuff is going to happen. You know, and he's scared. So if Jesus is at this point, it must be okay for us to do it too, right? Because we can all agree that Jesus lived a sinless, blameless life. Well, here he is. He's afraid. But, you know, if you keep going, he gives it over to God. You know, if this cup can pass from me, let it, but if it's your will, you know. And Jesus obviously goes on and does what he came here to do. But at this point, the place we're looking at right here, Jesus is, he's sorrowful even to death, which kind of says to me, he's not even sure he's going to make it to the cross. Like, he could just die, you know, right where he was sitting. And it just, what he was going through, what he was dealing with was weighing so heavily on him. But in the end, like I said, he went on and said, "Not as I will, but as you will." And he searched for God's will in this, and he knew what it was, so he was able to carry it out. And, you know, that I think is a difference between Jesus and where we're at, because we don't always know God's will. You know, we're comfortable where we are. Everything is great right now. Everything is cool. It's awesome. God does something. He calls us to be a missionary to Zimbabwe or, you know, Kilimanjaro, wherever that is. But that's not comfortable. I don't want to do that. I don't want to leave where I'm at and go to some other country where I have to learn a new language and speak another language, learn a new culture, and do all these things that I'm not comfortable with. That's not, you know, who I am. It's not who I want to be. God, I'm pretty sure that you meant for me to stay right here and do exactly what I'm doing right now. Well, no, that's not how it goes. You know, God asks us to do things. He requires certain things of us from time to time that we're just not comfortable with. And, you know, there's 100 million examples in the Bible of God asking people to do things they didn't want to do. How did it work out for Jonah? It didn't go well, right? I mean, Jonah was just a miserable guy, but he fought God's will kicking and screaming the whole way. And throughout the whole book of Jonah, we just see how miserable he ends up being. But that's us a lot of times, you know, and we assume we know God's will and what God wants for us to do, and sometimes it's different. We get worked up about it instead of just saying, "Hey, God, you know, if this cup can pass for me, that's great, but your will and not mine." That's hard. I struggle with that. I'm sure the rest of you guys got that all figured out. But it's, you know, and you think about these situations that we get into, stuff we worry about. What's, you know, the number one thing that most of us worry about is probably money, right? Money's a huge stumbling block for a lot of us as far as stuff we worry about, stuff we stress over. You know, there's any number of other things that we can get into. But, you know, what I kind of ask myself in studying for this is, how many of these situations, how many of these circumstances do I create for myself? How many times do I put myself into a position that's not comfortable and that I'm stressed over and that I'm worried about and that I'm not trusting God with and that, you know, I'm waffling back and forth on? How much of this stuff do I do to myself? And then what's further, how many times do I make that even worse by trying to fix it myself? You know, I could just kick myself all the bad spots that I've been in that I've only made worse by going, you know what, I got this. I can handle it. I can fix it. It's okay to feel like you can't handle it. In that moment we were looking at a minute ago, Jesus wasn't sure he could handle it. He knew what, you know, what was coming next, and he wasn't sure he was going to make it that far. That's okay. That's all right. And it's hard, especially for us as men a lot of times, because we're tough, right? I mean, I go out in the woods and kill critters and chop down trees and do, you know, manly lumberjack type things. For men, that's hard. It's hard to say that I can't do it. I need help. You know, we struggle with that a lot of times, and I'm sure none of you ladies ever do that, but that's, as far as men go, that's tough. You know, that's not in our nature, at least not in the nature that we'd want other people to see. I'm well aware of things that I can't do. The older I get, the more I'm aware that I can't do anymore, which is, you know, what my dad's been telling me my whole life, but I'm getting to that point now. But that's just, you know, that's just how that goes. It is okay to feel like we can't handle it. And in those moments, that's when we turn to God, when we should turn to God. You know, and it almost sounds like another cliche for you to be in bad shape, for me to come to you and go, well, you know, God can fix it. Well, yeah, God can fix it, you know, but we're looking at each other and you're in bad shape and I come to you and God can fix it is all I've got. You know, that's all I've got to offer you. That's not enough either. You know, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, as fellow men, we got to be able to offer each other more than that. You know, a buzzword or a catchphrase or some kind of cliche is not enough. You know, it's part of God's plan. God's got this under control. And when you're in that moment and you're suffering through whatever it is you're going through, that's not what you want to hear. That's not what you're thinking. That's not what's on your mind. Well, if God, you know, I wish he'd come in with his magic wand and straighten this out real quick. That's not how it goes, and that's not what we should offer. We got to give more than that. We have to be able to point people to God's word and say, God's got this, and here's why. But, you know, Proverbs says that iron sharpens iron. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We're supposed to make each other better. And I'm not going to make you any better by joining you in whatever's bringing you down. You know, if, I mean, somebody comes to me and says, I'm having a problem with alcohol, I better not say, hey, let's go have a drink and talk about it. You know, that's not doing anybody any good. We've got to come up from whatever the problem is, and I've got to be able to show somebody what's, you know, this is what the scripture says about what you're going through. And that's why it's important for us to stay in God's word and to memorize God's word. And that's hard. You know, it's something we do in Awanas, and all these kids know Bible verses. You know, so many, it'll make our heads spin. But it's important to continue that as adults. You know, and I don't think a lot of times that we as adults spend enough time on that, memorizing scripture and applying it to our lives. You know, we know biblical principles, and there's things that, you know, that we can think of that we apply to our lives at certain times. But as far as individual scriptures go, there's so much more comfort, at least to me, and being able to know a specific place in the Bible, a specific phrase that deals with exactly what I'm going through. And there's not much that you're going to deal with in this life that's not covered in this book. You know, God did a pretty good job putting all this information together. I mean, it's better than Britannica up here. They did a good job writing this one. But it covers everything. And it's important for us to know where to find these things. Even if we don't know where they are, you know, it's important for us to know how to look stuff up and how to find topics and things that we can help ourselves with and that we can make each other better with. And to be that iron that sharpens our brother's iron, you know, to be able to lean on each other. It's one thing for me to lean on you, like I said, but then if I can't and we both crumble, then nobody's done any good. You have to be the iron that sharpens the other iron. And that's a hard place to get to sometimes, but I would challenge you to push yourself and become stronger as far as your scripture memorization and things like that go. Because it's just better. It makes us better people. It makes us better brothers in Christ, better fathers, better husbands, you know, all the above. It's who we're supposed to be. You know, and if you've got this in your heart, you don't have to worry about what's going on in your head. Because we'll lie to ourselves. You know, we'll tell ourselves things are either okay or that we can fix them. You know, we just can't. You know, we can. But if we have God's truth in our heart, that's what gets us where we need to be. That's what gets us through these hard times and over all these, you know, the speed bumps and the obstacles that life throws in our way. And it will, man. And it's constant. You guys know this. It's, you know, as soon as you're through one storm, you know, you're doing good, everything's cool, what does that mean? There's another one coming. You're either in a storm or you're waiting on one. That's just life. You know, that's how it goes. That's the world that we live in. You know, it's a matter of just when the next storm is coming and how we deal with it. You know, and whether or not we trust in God to get us through these things. But as far as a good strong verse to push somebody through, you know, when we talked about having, you know, God being able to take care of us, God can get us through. That's great. That's good. We should know that. But here's why. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. That says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul goes on these tangents sometimes and says things like, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." What is Paul talking about when he says he's weak and strong? How can he be weak and strong at the same time? Paul's weak enough to know that he can't handle what he's going through. Paul went through some serious stuff. And Paul was beaten and shipwrecked and, you know, imprisoned and all kinds of horrible things. But it was in those moments when Paul was at his weakest that he was also at his strongest. Because Paul trusted God. You know, we look so many times, Paul wrote a lot of what he wrote from prison. You know, we're in 2 Timothy right now in our Sunday school class. Paul's offering all these encouraging, you know, uplifting, awesome words to Timothy. Because Timothy's struggling a little bit, you know, in his walk with God and leadership in the church and all these things. Paul's lifting him up. Paul's praising Timothy. "Timothy, you're doing great. These are all the things you need to work on. This is what you need to be teaching. These are how you need to be encouraging." Paul's in prison. Paul's pretty sure they're about to kill him at this point. He'd been in and out of prison a few times and was pretty sure he wasn't going to get away with this one. They're about to execute Paul. He knew that. But while he's going through this, Paul is weak enough in his flesh to turn to God, and that's where he got his source of strength. You know, where else could you? I couldn't do that. I'm sitting in jail. I'm hoping somebody's sending me these letters going, "Hey, it's going to be all right. God's going to, you know, swoop in and perform a miracle and things are going to be awesome." That's not what Paul's doing here. Paul's not saying, "Woe is me." And he refers to the fact a couple times that he's a prisoner, some of these letters that he's writing. But he's lifted other people up from prison. You know, I don't know if I could do that. We've talked about this in Sunday school a million times. I'm not sure that would be me sitting in that cell and going, "You know what, I bet old so-and-so needs a boost, so I'll write him a letter." I couldn't do that. You know, if it's me, I'm sitting there and I'm worried about my circumstances and, you know, I'm in jail and it's horrible and why did God do this to me and why is he so far away and darkness is my nearest friend. We got to get past that. We got to get past the point where, you know, things are oftentimes our fault, but we don't have the solution. Yeah, so many times we wander around and we go, "Oh, I've got, you know, I should be able to help." We can't. We can't. Just give it up. We can't. Be strong in your weakness. Be weak enough to say, "I can't do this." And God will deliver that strength and make you stronger. And it's because of, you know, God and this verse that we just read and his abundance of grace and all these wonderful things, you know, that God's loving kindness is, we can't even imagine the scope of how wonderful, how awesome God is. I mean, we talk about, you know, he created the stars and the moon and the, You know, everything we see here, you know, everything, all animals, plants, whatever, anything. He spoke it all, and the guy talked, and this stuff just happened. And, you know, we read about it in the Bible, and I think we take it for granted a lot of times, just how strong, how powerful, how almighty God is. And we run from him, you know, which is ridiculous because God's everywhere. Where are we going to run that God is not? You know, God's already in tomorrow. He's not even bound by time. He's yesterday, he's today, he's tomorrow, he's east, he's west, he's up, he's down, he's everywhere. But we run from him with these problems, and we try to hide our problems, and I'll just keep them right here, and God won't know, and I'll just deal with it the way I see fit, and it'll be a horrible failure. We'll fall flat on our face. Give it to God. Be weak enough to give it over to God. That's where we find our strength, just like Paul said here. Give it to God. Give it over. We're only going to mess it up by trying to fix it ourselves. And, you know, I'm not trying to, I don't want to kick any of us while we're down this morning. You're all smart, bright, wonderful, intelligent people. I'm not trying to, I don't mean to insult anybody by telling you you don't have the answers. But it's true. It's true. I don't have the answers either. I'm preaching to myself today more than even you guys. But, again, I would encourage you to memorize the scripture, to lean on each other, to be somebody that can be leaned on. You know, it's great to, you know, I've got my wife, and she's awesome, and, you know, I don't talk to her about problems as much as I should, or as much as probably she even wants me to. And it's great to have that relationship as husband in Christ, as husband and wife. I'm already in my next sentence too, but it's great to have that relationship as husband and wife. But it's also important to have that relationship as a brother or a sister in Christ to somebody. Like, I think about Chris Cotting. I wish he was here today. But Chris is somebody that I can go to. I can call Chris in the middle of the night and say, hey, I'll be at your house in 5 minutes. We need to talk about some things. That's all right with Chris. Now, Chris has got, you know, he's single and all that good stuff, and they stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning at his house anyway, right? But we need that other man. We need another man that we can lean on. You know, that's been where we are. I love my wife. She is the whole world to me, but she's never been through, you know, she didn't walk in my shoes. She's never been through man stuff, I guess. I don't know. But it's important to have that guy that you can go to. It's important for her to have that other woman that she can go to that can deal with girl stuff. You know, there's stuff I don't have answers for. You know, and I might be able to help you out where I can't help her out. I don't know. But that relationship is important. And if you don't have that person in your life, look around. You know, this is a room full of just awesome people that would be more than glad to help any of you. You know, some of you guys have already got that kind of relationship with others, and if you don't, I would encourage it. It's excellent. It's a great tool to have. It really is. Because we can lean on each other, and we can make each other better. We can make each other accountable. We can make each other who we're supposed to be in Christ. As far as, you know, men go or women or however you want to separate it or consolidate it or whatever. But again, that abundance of goodness and kindness and love and mercy and all these things that God gives us, that's enough, guys, to cover everything, to fix all of our problems. And in that relationship we're talking about, that should be the idea, that you lead each other back to that. You know, because it's hard for me sometimes to say, well, I trust God and all that stuff, but I'm going to fix it. Well, I know sometimes I need somebody to come along and go, hey, brother, look, you know what, just jump on my piggyback and I'll carry you for a while and we'll get back to God on this. That's what we need, because it's hard for us to see it sometimes ourselves. But that's, we're going to close right there today. But, you know, if this is something you're dealing with, if worry is something you're dealing with, if heartache, if trusting God is something you're dealing with, I encourage you to deal with God on that. You know, talk to him. Prayer, that's what we do. It's what he wants. God wants that relationship with us. When we hurt, God hurts with us. He wants us to give him our problems. He wants to fix our problems for us. He wants us to help us through these things. And again, it's not always what we want, what we think he wants for us. But it's his will and it's his plan, and he'll get us through there. He'll give us that strength. He'll find somebody to send our way to give us that boost. So what we're going to do is pray right now, and we're going to open the altars up in just a few minutes. But again, if you're dealing with these things, if You know, if you want to grab somebody and bring them down with you, you want to pray at your seat, do whatever it is you've got to do. But work that out with God. Work that out with God. Find a brother or sister to talk about it with. Work it out with God. God's there for you. He's always there. He'll always be there. So we'll go ahead and pray. You guys want to come on up? Dear Lord, I just thank you for everybody in this room this morning, God. And I thank you for your truth, for your mercy, for your love, God, for your will for our lives, God. And I just ask that you lift the burdens of worry off of us, God. Show us your light. Show us your truth. Remind us of who we're supposed to be, God, and that we're supposed to seek you in everything that we do. Lord, again, I just ask for strength for my brothers and sisters, and I ask that if there's one here today that doesn't know you, that maybe this is the day, God, that we make that happen. Again, I love you and I praise you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Danny. Let's all stand and sing, "Please, I Surrender All."